The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Dr. Patty, and we're going to have another kind of medical informative show today because I'm getting feedback that they've been really helpful when we do it on subjects that are pretty common. So today we're going to talk about AFib, and this week I have learned more about AFib than I think I've ever wanted to know and hoped I would never need to know, but it's been a very informative week, and it made me realize how much I do not know about AFib. I always knew that AFib was an irregular heartbeat and that they did stuff to treat it and that it wasn't necessarily like a death sentence or something like that, but I've learned a ton about it, and I started to recognize that people need to know. It's kind of like when we did the show on acid reflux. A lot of people went, wow, this has helped me so much. I've always had heartburn. I've always had acid reflux, and I didn't really know much about it or how to manage it. So I've gotten people writing to me going, that show on acid reflux helped me so much. And a couple people wrote and said, I've been avoiding going to the doctor, and now I know that I need to. So it was good. So I have Dr. Richard Malachi here in the studio with me. Say hi.
Hello. Good morning.
He's here. And he is going to help teach everybody about AFib. But I'm going to share with you why this is important. I had COVID in November. I was sick for almost a month. I missed a month of work. And Randy McGinnis got COVID as well. And after COVID, we both have been trying to recover from fatigue and muscle aches. And I've had continuing pain in my right ear that we just can't seem to get rid of. I've been on 3 rounds of antibiotics, and it's just the pain in my right ear and the vertigo. It was just a pain. I hate it, but I'm working it. Anyway, so Randy's been super fatigued and muscle aches, and he's hardly had any appetite. He lost his sense of smell, and he's hardly been eating, but he was gaining weight. And he kept saying, I don't know why I'm gaining weight. I'm just hardly eating. And he didn't really ever mention it to his doctor, Dr. Malachi, who's sitting here in front of us.
Yeah, men are like that.
Yeah, testosterone, it's a handicap. We're going to do a show on that one day. So I'm teasing, but I'm sort of not.
Anyway, why did we include a show on estrogen?
No.
Screaming.
Oh. You're bad. All right. So he doesn't say anything to anybody about it much, except for he whines to me about it some. And what was happening was, as his heart was not beating well, he was going into AFib, and he was beginning to retain water. And Dr. Malachi is going to explain to you why that was happening. But he was complaining about that. And this has been going on since November. And just very slow and insidious and nothing overnight that made you go, whoa, something's really wrong. And we just kept thinking, well, he's recovering from COVID. And so then everything went sideways this week, and he went into AFib, and he was in the hospital and had to have a procedure done. And thank heavens, on my birthday, he did not die, which was really good because I have a thing about losing people. Like, don't we all? But one of the best birthday presents I got on Thursday was that the procedure worked and he was going to be okay. So Dr. Malachi is here, and he's going to teach everybody about AFib. It's important. So get your pad of paper out and take some notes, and by the end of the show, you're going to know more about AFib than you ever thought you needed to know. But if you ever need to know it for you or a loved one, this is going to be important information. If you're listening to this and you have been diagnosed with AFib and you've been trying to work it and work it and work it, maybe some of the information Dr. Malachi is going to give you will help you manage it better, or to cooperate more with your doctor, or speak up if one of the symptoms is happening, especially if you happen to be male, then you speak up and you talk to somebody about it. He's smirking over there.
Yeah, it's, you know, atrial fib is such a common diagnosis that, you know, I'm a family doctor, so, you know, most family doctors, I know this has been true for me, have at least, I mean, if you have a full practice, you'd see a new one every month. So mm-hmm. I've seen one new one a month for 36 years. Yeah. And then I, you know, during the 7 years of training, we saw them all the time too. So, how I started out is, because it's so common, I give this speech a lot. I like to explain a little bit to people about the physiology of the heart. So, and most of you know this stuff, but a quick review is worth it. So our heart has four chambers. There are two atria and two ventricles. The ventricles are actually the pumping chambers. The right side of the heart pumps blood to your lungs. It doesn't have to go that far. So the right side of the heart is less stressed than the left side of the heart. And the left side of the heart, the left ventricle, pumps the blood out to your body. The atria act as primers, so they sit on top of the ventricles, and just before each cardiac cycle, just before each heartbeat, a little electrical signal goes to the atria, and the atria squeeze and fill the ventricle to its maximum fullness. The problem in atrial fibrillation, the atria are humming. You can think of them like humming instead of sending a regular beat. When the atria hum, they don't preload the ventricles, and you lose about 30% of the pumping efficiency of your heart. So in Randy's case, that gradually was causing him to retain fluid because, you know, your kidneys don't get as much blood flow. Nothing gets as much blood flow. Mm-hmm. And the kidneys retain sodium, and then next thing you know, your ankles are swelling, and I could hear the fluid in his lungs when he finally came in.
Yeah.
So the cardiac cycle is pretty awesome. It's lost on most people. The average human heart beats 3 million times a month.
Wow.
3 million times a month for 65 years for me. I'm surprised mine lasted that long.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially when your heart's been broken a few times.
Yeah, that doesn't help. But, you know, go out in a parking lot, open, close my truck door 3 million times, that's going to fall off.
Right.
We're going to say, wow, that's a good hinge. It lasted 3 million times. So our hearts do a lot for us, and we take them for granted, unfortunately. So the other thing I like to right away talk to patients about is to get them to understand that it's an electrical disturbance of your heart.
Yeah.
It's not a blockage. It's not a stent. You don't need a bypass. It's not premorbid. You don't die from atrial fibrillation. And people, as soon as you say that word, H-E-R-T, they freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and by the end of the show, I really want people to understand what are the risks of not treating AFib.
Yeah, we're going to,
There are real risks, and if you treat it right, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
If you don't treat it, and you're an idiot, and you don't call your doctor, you don't go get it checked out, bad things can happen. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, one of the first things Dr. Malachi is going to help explain is what are the symptoms of AFib that should make you get checked out so that you really understand this. All right, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
I am Bev Stupak, and I am here for one reason. It's because of how very much I care about what we call our hometown of choice. We are fortunate in how city and county leaders, elected officials, have led us through this historic pandemic. In essence, the recall is simply uncalled for.
Tuesday, February 1st, vote no on the recall. Paid for by Vote No on the Recall, Stand with Modi 2022.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and here in the studio with me is Dr. Richard Malachy, and we are talking about AFib, which you need to know a lot about. And Dr. Malachy is going to talk to you about how he treats his patients with it, what he does, and what you need to look for. So, Dr. Malachy, take it away and help educate people on what are the symptoms and what should they be looking for. And then in the third section of the show, we'll talk more about different treatments and things that they do to help it. And we want to make sure by the end of the show that people really know this is something I need to know about, and these are the things that make me need to talk to my doctor.
Okay, good. And before I even talk about the symptoms, I want a quick discussion of what are common triggers for atrial fib. Or people say, well, why did I get this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good question. So there are many, unfortunately, about a list about as long as your leg, single space type. So the most common denominator when it comes out of the blue is anything that increases your adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So stimulants do it. We used to see it in the ER. The cocaine and meth people would come in atrial fib all the time. Sometimes
the
angel dust. Too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fight or flight phenomena mm-hmm. is a common trigger, especially if it's an outlier. You know, when you're over 50, it's just plain common because your heart's got a lot of mileage on it. Mm-hmm. And some put a lot of those miles on a gravel road, mm-hmm. you know, so that's even harder on your heart. But in people that are young who have it usually have a lot of stress, a lot of adrenaline stress, or sometimes even what we talked about the other day, reflux can cause it.
Right.
Because the lower third of the esophagus touches the heart, and if the heart gets too much stimulus, it makes the atria screw up.
Yeah.
So, and the cardiac cycle starts with the atria. So, our electrophysiology is, there's a thing in the left atrium called the SA node, sinoatrial node. It's what sends that nice regular signal to the heart to beat. And the SA, the electricity goes down to this little thing called the AV node, and then the AV node propagates the signal electrically into the ventricles through the bundle of His. So, and we don't have to write that down, but that's how it works. And if you lose that regular P wave, we call it on an EKG, if atrial fib has no P waves. So,
right.
And the ventricle is waiting, the AV node is waiting, it's going, and, the heart, if your atria stop, you don't die because the AV node takes over. And if the AV node is screwed up, then the actual ventricles will pace your heart. So it's a triple redundancy.
And I've been watching that on an EKG machine
for
close to a week now.
Yeah, it was sort of a glazed look on your face.
They're just staring at the EKG
machine. Yeah, and we make the diagnosis with an electrocardiogram. Mm-hmm. You can also, when you're old like me and you've seen it a million times, there's only two things in the heart that cause irregularity. So like that's if you put your finger on your pulse, and on your wrist and take your pulse, and if your heartbeat is irregular, but it's irregular,
mm-hmm.
bump, 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 that's going to be AFib almost always.
Kind of like a bad drummer.
Yeah, it's the only other thing that can do it is multifocal atrial tachycardia, and that's really rare. So, and if you have PVCs, it'll go bump, 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 bump. Bump, bump. That's a regular irregularity. And that's we call that trigeminy. Every third beat is an abnormal beat. So saying that. So that's usually it's some kind of overload stimulus and sometimes it's just age. I got it when I was 55. My mom got it when she was 55. My aunt got it when she was 55. So it might even run in my family. I don't know. So at any rate, the symptoms usually are related to the symptoms of losing 30% of your cardiac output.
So, short of breath.
Yeah, 10 years ago, I was walking with one of my buddies, and, you know, we were turkey hunting, we were going up this hill, and I just couldn't go. I thought, what is up? And I took my pulse, I thought, oh, that explains it. I'm an atrial fib. So,
yeah, the doctor knew.
Yeah, well, you know, I should know by now. But, you get, you're tired, your exercise tolerance goes way down.
Mm-hmm.
Some people feel like they just can hardly get out of bed.
Well, Randy finally woke up that something was really wrong when he walked about 10 yards, and after just walking across over to the runway, he said, oh, I can't breathe.
Something's up, yeah.
Something's really wrong.
And the I can't breathe is a common one. Normally
right.
Not accompanied by chest pain, squeezing, tightness, neck, jaw, shoulder, arm discomfort. You don't have the ischemic cardiac symptoms you have, but you just feel like you can't go.
Well, and he kept associating it with, I'm just trying to recover from COVID. And I know viruses can start you into AFib too.
Yeah, they can. You know, viruses are notorious for causing what we call a cardiomyopathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't necessarily damage to the electrical system. Sometimes it's just damage to the heart muscle cells themselves. Because your heart's got a bunch of stuff in it. It's got muscle cells, mostly. But it has these nerve cells that without them, none of us would, you know, we'd be, you know, in a pine box somewhere. So it all works together.
Right.
So, yeah, so the symptoms are usually that, fatigue. People will often come in. I had three new ones this month. Randy was one of them. And three new ones in my practice. And they'll come in and say, I just don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll say, you know, something's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And their ear doesn't hurt. They're not cough. Sometimes they cough if they get pulmonary edema from it. But yeah, they'll look like, hey, what's up? And then you put your stethoscope on your chest and go, da da.
Yeah.
You know what that is.
You diagnosed him in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And he had a cough.
Yeah. Well, he had fluid in his lungs too.
Yeah.
So it's not a difficult diagnosis, and all doctors know how to do it, so not just me, so it's an easy one. But and the treatment for it, what we normally try to do is the rule in atrial fib is get out of atrial fib. So, and why do we say that? So the reason is that the longer a person is in atrial fib, the harder it is for a doctor to get them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like if you're in it for weeks, the heart has developed this pathway that now it's comfortable, you know, mm-hmm. in this atrial fib. Like my mom got it at 55 and she never went to the doctor, and they found it on a physical, you know, a couple years later.
Wow.
And she had to take Coumadin all that time. She had to take blood thinners. But, she had it for, well, she died when she was 91. So she had it for 30 years.
Wow.
35 years. So, and she just, you know, couldn't quite go.
Yeah, so, and that would wreck your vitality.
It can. You know, I've seen people, like my mom was a goer, but she couldn't keep up with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, having to take the blood thinners and a pain in the butt. So what we try to do, our goal of atrial fib is get out of atrial fib. The normal thing I do in the office, and I've been, you know, I was taught this for, you know, 43 years ago, is first 20 years I worked, we used digoxin, which right. is an oldie but a goodie.
Mm-hmm.
There are some side effects of digoxin, and now we have such better antiarrhythmic drugs that I haven't written a prescription for digoxin for 20 years probably. But the first 20 years I worked, that's how we started them.
My mom used to take that.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to draw the blood levels. And it can cause other trouble. So, and you can't get low potassium on digoxin. But now I mostly use a drug called Flecknide. And that's what I used on my three new patients this month. And that's what got me out of atrial fib 10 years ago back, you know, when I had my dealings with it. So, and what we can't predict, sometimes one of my patients converted with the first dose.
Right.
I gave her a dose and 2 hours later she called and said, wow, my pulse is regular. I was all excited too, because
uh-huh.
sometimes it's easy like that. And then sometimes we have to do what we did with Randy,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you put him on the medicine for a couple of days, but if it's not working, then we do a procedure in the hospital, and you can do, I was shocked, I think, 5 times. You do this thing called cardioversion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. And I probably did it 50 times when I was in my training. And
is it cool to do or
cool
have it
to
done
do.
To you?
No,
okay.
It's cool to do because you get to use the paddles, but normally when you're using the paddles, the person is dying. or dead, and you're trying to make their heart start. Mm-hmm. And here, the heart's going. It just needs to straighten up and fly right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not a defibrillator. It's a cardioverter. Okay. And now instead of the paddles, they can take all the romance out of it. They put a sticker on the front of your chest and a sticker on the back of your chest. And then sync it. You have to sync the machine. And the machine syncs to your cardiac cycle. Because if you shock at the wrong time, you'll put them into defib, which is bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, it killed them.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that.
Yeah, but usually the goal is not to kill them.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, in all those times that I actually did it to people, and then mm-hmm. all the times I had it done to me, I mean, I was never worried. I've never seen anybody be stupid enough to defibrillate an AFib. You know, mm-hmm. you don't be doing that. You only defibrillate VFib.
Right.
So, yeah, so you do cardioversion, and almost all, every time they shocked me, it worked perfect.
Well, I was amazed when they did it to Randy. They did it in like 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's a quickie.
Done.
Yeah.
And it was not that big, huge of a deal.
Yeah, one time, I guess it was 10 years ago, I woke up in atrial fib and the medicine wasn't working, and we had a foreign exchange student from Colombia, and I promised her to take her to the pancake breakfast that morning. So it's 3 a.m., and I don't want to be sedated, so I just rode my motorcycle into Mercy ER, and the whole hospital gathered around to watch me get cardioverted without sedation. And it didn't, you know, I knew what to expect, but it didn't even hurt. It felt like a horse kicked you in the front of the chest and the back of the chest at the same time. And your whole chest wall goes like that. And your legs fly up, and you're back in normal sinus.
And then you got on your motorcycle and drove to the pancake breakfast.
Exactly.
Okay, and our point before, that sometimes men make interesting decisions when it comes to their medical care. They're avoidant. And I'm joking on one hand.
Yes.
But the other hand, in my practice, I see a lot of men that are avoidant until it's too late. And I really give a lot of kudos when somebody says, I need to go get this checked out, like before my marriage dissolves, before I die, before something. And that's what we're saying. If you're a guy and you're saying, well, I've had these heart problems for a while and I've never gone to my doctor, go.
Yeah, it shouldn't be threatening, and especially if it's atrial fib. I mean, again, not a sign that you're going to have a heart attack, not you're not going to die. The big risk and it is a tangible risk of untreated atrial fib. Like, let's say you don't go to the doctor and you don't want to take any pills and you want to be stubborn about it. The risk is related to anatomy. And, when your atria are humming like that, they're not beating. The blood in the atria is sluggish. It's not moving. Like, we like blood in the blood vessels and in the heart moving. There's a thing called the left atrial appendage. It looks like a little elbow hanging off the left atrium. Right atrium doesn't have one. And that's the problem in atrial fib. So what can happen? And before Randy got cardioverted and before I was cardioverted, they had to put this little thing down your throat and take an ultrasound of your heart. Mm-hmm. Because if there's a clot, it'll be in the left atrial appendage.
Right. And if there's a clot and you shock somebody.
And it breaks loose, you stroke them.
Right.
Yeah, you stroke them and, you know, there's 11% annual risk of stroke in untreated atrial fib.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, don't do that.
It needs to be done by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Well, only someone knows what they're doing. I mean, no one has a cardioverter in their garage.
And sticking a bobby pin in a light socket's not a good idea.
No. One of my patients, he said, I don't have to be a piece of human toast, because after about four doses of the drug, he converted.
He converted.
Yeah, so that was good. But, yeah.
Piece of human toast.
You know, like in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hold on to that electrified fence, that'll get your heart straightened right out. But, yeah, it's unnecessarily scary. I mean, people's eyes get big when I tell them there's something wrong with their heart.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Because we're kind of trained that means
correct.
You're going down downhill slide.
But understanding the physiology helps a lot. It helps mitigate the fear, and so I try to, you know, I think, you know, everybody's smart. They can understand it.
Yeah.
So,
well, and it's interesting, after Randy's been through this and they converted his heart and it went back to normal rhythm, he's walking around saying, oh my heavens, I feel better than before I had COVID.
Right.
And
right.
So he's he feels normal again, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this. I want you to know more what symptoms to look for. I want to be really clear so you could actually write down the main symptoms Dr. Mlocky sees for AFib. All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You are actually listening to the incredibly beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, who
survivor.
Now survivor of AFib. He's a Native American flutist, and he's just an amazing musician. And I'm thankful that he's going to be producing more music, and he didn't die on my birthday.
Okay. That would have been very crass.
I told him it would have been bad form.
Yes.
So it just did turn out to be a very good birthday present. Okay, so we're talking about AFib, and I want Dr. Mlocky to go through the symptoms that he most often sees when people start talking to him and he starts thinking AFib. But see, what people don't always know is you are a doctor who always checks everything. You check all the basic stuff every time you see someone. So for you not to have listened to their heart and heard it, that's just not like you.
Oh, I had it's not a good story, but I had an atrial fib patient probably a year ago, and she didn't feel good, because that's the number one symptom. Patients say, I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Now, this gal is 97, mm-hmm. Wonderful spark plug, sharp as a tack, on the New York Times bestseller list. She is a very interesting person, but she grew up on Alcatraz, and she wrote a book about going to school and coming of age on Alcatraz Island, because her dad was the warden there.
Yeah.
And they had a little school for the kids. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's an awesome person, but she didn't feel good. She told her daughter, I don't feel good. Daughter drives her to the walk-in. The walk-in told her that she had anxiety and gave her some Xanax. They didn't listen to her heart.
Ugh.
It's just, you can't even make it up, and they're in such a hurry sometimes. So, well, the daughter has some medical knowledge. She's not happy about that, so she takes her to a different walk-in the next day. They still didn't listen to her heart, and they gave her some stomach acid pills. And then she was on the front porch 8 o'clock Monday morning, and, you know, and I tell people, just come, you know, you don't need an appointment. And I put my stethoscope on her chest. Her pulse was 160.
Oh,
you know, it's atrial fib with uncontrolled, we call that atrial fib with uncontrolled ventricular response. And I gave her one dose of the drug. It was fine. So, but you know, that girl, and she, yeah, you can die from that. Mm-hmm. From just ignoring it and having a steady pulse of 160. So, yeah,
see,
so.
That was my point. The doctors.
They don't spend five minutes with
you. They spend 3 minutes with their patient. They don't do some of the basic stuff. Not all of them do. And.
Anyway.
I think they messed up.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know.
I know.
Browbeat my buddies. But yeah, so number one symptom I would say, Patty, they'll just come in and I come into the room and I'll go, hey, what's up? And they'll go, you know, I just don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number one symptom. They'll also say they're tired. They will often, if it's been going on a while, they'll complain of water retention or bloating. Usually starts in the ankles. They'll say, oh, by the end of the day, I've got a little puffiness above my sock. You know, mm-hmm. that's common. And then as the edema grows up your legs, body third space is fluid down in your feet and ankles first. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. And then it comes kind of up to your stomach, and then a late sign of edema is when it starts to fill your lungs up. And it's mm-hmm. actually very easy to hear that with a stethoscope. It's called pulmonary edema, and mm-hmm. we could hear that on Randy. So, yeah, so they'll see that. They'll have a cough. They'll be short of breath. They'll say they can't walk to the mailbox like usual.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one of the least common things to hear is they'll feel palpitations, mm-hmm. even though their heart is usually crazy when you listen to it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So our goal is to, you know, make the diagnosis, but our goal is to get number one is we try to give them rate control. Rate control is, you know, your heart is hearing this humming. The atria hum at 300 beats per minute.
Wow.
So, and your heart can't physically beat that fast. It can sometimes approach 200 beats a minute if you're really healthy and, you know, if you're a marathon runner, a real aerobic specimen. Those people come right in because they know something's up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
They can feel it.
But the people who aren't very fit or don't ever do any exercise, they'll be the ones that sometimes sneak under the radar. So we go for rate control, usually some kind of either beta blocker drug or calcium channel blocker. Both are drugs that we use for other things too, for like high blood pressure mostly. And if you get their rate down, they're much more comfortable and their heart gets a little more efficient. And then we use some kind of anti-dysrhythmic drug, and there's quite a few of them. The idea of those is to make that irritable electrical part of the heart straighten up and fly right.
I've heard people talk about having AFib and feeling like they have a flutter or
yeah.
palpitation.
Well, and a sister of atrial fib, twin sister of atrial fib, is atrial flutter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you can actually see a P wave, but holy cow, is it fast.
Yeah.
And it looks like waves, real quick little waves on the ocean.
Yeah.
On the EKG. So, and atrial flutter is usually a little harder to convert chemically. We mostly end up shocking those people, but. And the long view of atrial fib, it's just, it really, I hate to say that it's wishy-washy, but really you get what you get. It's not a black or white illness. Some people convert with their first dose and never get it again as long as they take their pill. And for them, sometimes they have to take it the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
If the situational anxiety caused the atrial fib, then after a month or two, you could probably stop that. And, you know, it's one of those see if it comes back stories.
Mm-hmm.
My personal experience, and I would say I have two or three people where no matter what you do, the meds will work for a while, but the atrial fib keeps wanting to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it wants to be in charge. And for those folks, and it happened to me about a year and a half of trying different pills and kind of being frustrated, and I got the shock in five times. That was good. That was pretty cool. I like getting shocked, actually. it's like a little bit of a live wire.
I think you like it because it's a good story.
Yes. Well, yeah, it does. It's entertaining. So I ended up having to get a thing that many people may have heard of. It's called an ablation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and an ablation is a special kind of cardiologist does it. Electrophysiologists, they're called. So their specialty is fine-tuning the electrical part of the heart. And what they do, I had to go, they do it now here in Redding, but 10 years ago they didn't, so I had to go down to Sacramento and went to Mercy in Sacramento, and they thread a little catheter in your groin, and they put this really cool sensor into your left atrium.
Mm-hmm.
And they snake it in the left ventricle, and then they snake it across the or the left atrium, snake it across the little hole in between your left and right atrium called the foramen ovale. And it's called, the English say foramen ovale, which I think is really silly. But the foramen ovale is open when you're a little baby hooked up to the placenta, because there has to be a shunt in order to keep the baby alive, because the baby's not using its lungs. Anyway, they snake through that foramen ovale, and this electrical probe is really cool. It maps the left atrium and finds the place that's causing the trouble, mm-hmm. and then they cook it.
They zap it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. They usually use electrical cooking. When they did mine, they had this experimental thing they wanted to try, and it was fine with me. They did it. They used liquid nitrogen.
Wow.
In an enclosed space. So they froze my irritable, it's called an irritable focus. Mm-hmm. They froze it. And then you have to stay on blood thinners for 3 or 4 months after that. But then after that,
you're
done.
You've never had it again?
No. Nationwide, ablation is 70% effective with one. Mm-hmm. But with two, it's 90% effective.
My mom had that.
Yeah, and in the old days, which I remember because I'm old, and some places still do this, they would do this thing called a maze procedure. And a maze procedure they do in the operating room, and the chest surgeon opens a hole in your ribs and puts in this cautery thing that cauterizes the left atrium in little, like, if you think about making little checker boxes of scar tissue mm-hmm. on the left atrium, that prevents the atrial fib is a reentrant tachydysrhythmia. So it prevents that reentrant tachydysrhythmia from coming back. And the maze procedure is effective too, but it's more of a invasive deal. I mean, your chest is open and, you know, you gotta have a chest tube afterwards and you gotta be overnight. I didn't have to stay overnight, but they did mine at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell this story too, just because it's fun. I got in, checked in at noon. They did my procedure at 3. I didn't have a meal because I was, you know, they knock you out kind of, so I was sort of out of it. And I woke up about 9:00 at night and walked around the ward and entertained the nurses. And then I checked out at 6 a.m. So I was there for 18 hours. Guess what my bill was?
Oh, I can imagine.
I call it my speed of light bill. My bill, and I just had to pay my deductible, so I'm lucky. My speed of light bill was $186,000.
Wow.
If you can imagine that.
Wow.
And I think the hospital got 40, and the surgeon, who I would have paid, you know, $186,000, you know, he saved my life. The surgeon got $3,000.
Oh my heavens.
Yeah. So.
Where'd the rest go?
Oh, the hospital. You know, you have to pay for everybody who doesn't have insurance when you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
The cost shifting has taken on a life of its own, and that was 10 years ago.
Wow, it's even more now.
Yeah, oh no, you just can't believe it. So, anyway.
Well, that is interesting. Well, it's this whole thing about AFib being treatable is what's really important.
Oh yeah, you want to get out of atrial fib.
Yeah, and so the main point of this show is, if you have been having some of these symptoms and you've been kind of ignoring them and hoping they go away and just thinking that you're
getting out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, or that you're getting old, or you're doing that avoidant thing that people can do sometimes, it's not a bad thing for you to go to your doctor and say, I have these symptoms. And thinking that that means you're some kind of weak person or something's wrong with you, or you're not masculine if you say that, you know, I don't feel good and I'm tired and I'm having trouble breathing, and you feel like you're going to get yelled at because you haven't been exercising and you're out of shape and the doctor's going to tell you to lose 30 pounds. And don't let those things stop you. That is the main point of this show.
Yeah, it's much easier for us to get you back to a normal rhythm as soon as you go into atrial fib. The longer you're in atrial fib, the harder it is for us to fix it, and the more likely you're going to need an ablation.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this idea that the heart kind of gets to know it and says, okay, we can do this, and sticks with it. So those of you that are listening to this show going, well, I've got all those symptoms, and I have not told my doctor I have those symptoms, and you know, if you go into a doctor and he or she doesn't listen to your heart, doesn't check your pulse, ask. say, could you please listen to my heart and make sure everything's okay? The other thing Dr. Malachi has taught me is if they keep their eyes open, they're probably not listening deeply. To really hear and shut out all of their stimulus with a stethoscope, they need to close their eyes and listen. And if a doctor's putting a stethoscope on the outside of your clothes, they're not knowing what they're doing. They can't hear it well enough.
Well, it's a tool. And mm-hmm. if you're using the tool properly, it's applied to the skin. And, you know, 43 years ago, the guy that taught me how to use that tool just said, look, and he's right, you can hear 30% better with your eyes closed.
Right.
Like if I'm at a concert, I always close my eyes.
Yeah.
Because you can hear better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got these big optic tracts, and you shut those things down when you close your eyes, and now your body can pay much more attention to what you're actually hearing.
Right. Less stimulus going in.
Correct.
You can hear it. All right, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to sum this all up, so by the time you finish this show, you're going to say, I'm golden, or I need to go to the doctor. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. I am so grateful to be listening to Randy's music. So, and I want to do a shout out to a very special person who is the mother of my producer, Jared. And thank you for the happy birthday, and thank you for the well wishes for Randy. And I know you enjoy his music. So I'm sending you a hug. Anyway, we're talking about AFib, and Dr. Malachi is going to make sure you really get what we're doing. At the break, we were talking about some things we wanted to make sure you knew, and I want to talk to you. We are not being a commercial, and we are not being paid by this company, but you see that commercial on TV all the time for that cardio mobile where you stick your fingers on it, and it tells you what your heartbeat is. I just ordered one of those for Randy. There's an expensive one that's like 6 lines, and then there's a regular one that's a single line, and it was only about $59. I ordered the case for it too. I checked pricing everywhere. Walmart.com had the best price, but it is on Amazon also. And it's called Cardio Mobile.
With a K.
With a K. Yeah, Cardio with a K. And it's Cardia. Cardia Mobile with a K. And he can put his fingers on it. It's so thin. It's like a little, real small, little thin thing, and he can keep it in his pocket. And he's going to regularly check his heart rate for a lot. He's going to check it a lot for the next few months to make sure he doesn't go back into AFib. And then if he's doing really well, then he can just keep it like we can keep it in my purse so that it's
Since these devices have started to be marketed, I've been recommending my AFib patients to get them because, and some people, like I could tell when I was in atrial fib, but partly maybe just because of my job, but some people really don't feel it when they go in it. And then, you know, we don't like that.
So, Randy said he didn't feel it at all until he, just before they did the cardioversion on his heart. And he said then he started to feel the flutter, and that was just like an hour before they did that.
Right. Yeah. So it's a very useful tool. And no, we're not. I don't have any stock in this thing. But,
yeah, me neither.
But the patients can, you know, put their fingers on it, and it's not an EKG. It gives us what we call a rhythm strip. And it's a lead two, which lead two shows atrial fib the best and shows whether you're in it or not, shows the P waves really good. There's 12 leads on an EKG, and we don't need to go into that. But the rhythm strip is very useful because then the patient can just take a picture of it and send it to me.
Yeah, you don't even have to buy the app, which was like $12.99 a month.
Yeah.
But Randy can take a screenshot of it.
Yep.
And if he's uncertain, I now know what AFib looks like on an EKG. Sure. After staring at it for
days. plus the little machine will give you an electronic read anyway.
Yeah,
so
and
it'll say
AFib if it
is. Yeah, it'll alert you to
it. But then you know you need to get help. You don't need to sit there on AFib. It's not good for you.
Yeah, it's a repeating, I guess, being redundant here. But I like to use the sledding analogy. So in Minnesota, where I grew up, when there's 3 feet of snow, the first time you go down the hill, the sled doesn't go very fast. But the more you go in that track, the faster it goes. And then the more you go in that track, the harder it is to get out of the track. The heart is like that with atrial fib. The longer you're in it, the slicker it works, and the easier it is, and the more the heart defaults to atrial fib.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get out of that track. And the rule is get out of atrial fib.
Yeah. And so now let's look at that. Say someone like Randy has that little cardiomobile thing. He sees that he's in AFib. What should he do?
Make an appointment.
But so many doctors, you make an appointment. We'll see you in 8 weeks.
Well, yeah, that's unacceptable, and that's not something that I can control. We see those people the same day.
You say, come over. And
because we always have openings in the morning and in the afternoon for emergencies. So.
Well, and you heard Randy's AFib, and you said, you're going to the ER now.
Yeah.
Well, and then we went to the ER and sat in the waiting room for 6 hours.
And right now the ER is a four-letter word show.
Oh.
So, I apologize to patients about that.
It's not your fault, and they're understaffed, and they're overwhelmed, and sitting in the waiting room for 6 hours when someone next to you is having a heart problem is scary.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed with how our medical care system is working right now.
It's not working. If you go to the girl next to us on the floor was in total pain, on the floor, rocking and sobbing. She was having some kind of gallbladder attack or something. She went to 2 different walk-in clinics, and they turned her away and said, you have to go to the ER. Then the ER, she'd been sitting there for 8 hours in this pain. I was blown out.
Yeah, one of my patients, seen her 10 years probably, and her husband goes to a different family doctor. And they 2 weeks ago they got COVID, so she was in my office in the parking lot because we keep them in the parking lot. She was in the parking lot on Monday morning, and her husband went to his family doctor, and at the door the nurse greeted her and asked him if he was vaccinated, and he said neither of them were, and asked if and he said no, I'm not vaccinated, and she said, well, we won't see you then, go home and take a Tylenol. And that is unacceptable to me.
When I walked into the hospital, they asked me if I was vaccinated, if I was going to go in with him. And I said, yes, I was. And one person looked at me and she said, well, do you have proof of that? And I said, you want me to show you my papers? And she went, I have the vaccine card in my wallet and I have a picture of it on my phone. And I said, and I've also had COVID and I have an extreme amount of antibodies.
But you have to show that though.
But I was blown out.
I went over to Mercy Hospital to see one of my friends who's also a patient. He got septic from a kidney stone, and he was in the ICU, but he was okay. But I hadn't been in the hospital for 2-3 years. I don't go to the hospital as little as possible. But I wanted to do a little house call, and I walked in there, and they made me, I had to show my vaccination status. Well, I don't carry that thing. So, but the really nice lady, she said, do you have a cell phone? I said, sure. So she walked me through getting it on my phone. So then I was okay. Now, you know, I did CPR in that hospital 36 years ago. I've been, you know, up and down the square. They owe me.
Yeah.
And they're still making me show my papers. They're so afraid. It's just awful.
Well, I was kind of blown out at that. But what I also recognized is they weren't going to let me in. And if somebody, like say he was dying, we didn't know yet totally how bad this was or whatever. He would have been in there alone. And
that's our new reality.
It blew my mind. It was actually scary. But I don't know. That's a whole nother story to deal with that. Anyway, so if somebody has AFib and they see it on their cardiomobile, they need to get into their doctor. But if they're told, we'll see you in 8 weeks or whatever, they can go to a walk-in clinic. But they need to make sure somebody actually listens to their heart.
Should be seen that day.
You need to be seen that day. If you have to, you go to the emergency room and you tell them that you're having heart problems. You maybe even show them the readout from your cardiomobile showing that you've got AFib. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take you in right away, by the way. So it's a new world out there medically. But it's one of the reasons that you shouldn't wait, because it could take a long time.
That Monday, they refused to see my patient's husband. He was in the ICU on Thursday.
So
he didn't die.
But he went way downhill.
Well, yeah, he had COVID. He needed early treatment. COVID requires early treatment in the first 72 hours. If you early treat COVID patients, all 229 of mine received early treatment. No one goes to the ER. No one goes to the hospital. No one gets on a ventilator.
Right.
It's driving me crazy.
I know. Well, you took care of our COVID with early treatment. You kept me out of the hospital when I was going into respiratory distress because I had it pretty bad, and you were right on top of it and kept me out of the hospital. But not everybody has a doctor like you.
Well, it's not rocket science. Everybody
now, listen, if you guys want more information on this, go to COVID19publicforum.com, and you can see the doctors who spoke at the forum about vaccinations, and we are not anti-vaxxers. So don't mistake
I've been vaccinated.
I've been vaccinated. So we're not anti-vaxxers, but you can learn about vaccines. You can learn about, there's an OBGYN who was marvelous. She spoke about pregnancy and COVID and vaccines. But there's all the doctors are separated out with their talk.
Yeah.
And you can listen to each one. And Dr. Malachi's on there talking about early treatment for
36
COVID.
Of my 59 COVID patients in January were fully vaccinated and boosted.
Well, Randy and I both were vaccinated and both got COVID.
Sure, that's how it works.
Yeah, and for Randy, he had a very mild case of it, but ended up with AFib.
Yeah.
I had a more complicated case of it, so just getting vaccinated didn't give me some light case of COVID either.
No, but it generally does keep you out of the hospital. But all COVID patients...
I think you kept me out of the hospital.
Well, all COVID patients, it's not rocket science. It's easy to stop the snowball before it becomes the size of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug costs $10.
Oh, and early treatment is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to die from COVID.
Yeah, don't lay at home for a week and have someone slide a pizza under the door. It's bad medicine.
Yeah, it's not good. Okay, so we're making sense with AFib. I feel much more educated about it after going through this week, and you taught me so much about it. That's what made me say we need to do this on the air like we did acid reflux so that people can learn about this and get the help that they need. So if you've been avoiding seeing your doctor and you have any of these symptoms, just make an appointment. If you've got what might be AFib right now, go to a walk-in clinic. Go to the ER if you can get in, but try a walk-in clinic. Make sure they listen to your heart under your clothes, and that they know what they're doing. Okay, well, thank you so much, Dr. Richard Malachi, for joining us again, volunteering his time to do this. I just love him. He's an amazing person who wants to help heal people. So this is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, and that's me playing didgeridoo. Jared knows I love that song.
It's bigger than you are.
Yeah, that ditch is taller than me. It's huge. It's made by Pam Mortensen. She's amazing. So this is Therapy in a Nutshell and Dr. Patty, and I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.